Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless and keep you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for your warnings about the things that are coming, and thank you that we have time to pray and cast down the works of darkness. Amen. Are you ready to do warfare, saints? We have to. We have to at this time. We will be in trouble if we don't. Okay, I'm going to share this with you. I'm calling this Pray Now or Lose Your Freedom. And this first article is about fire and pestilence. And Eve Brass had this first revelation, this first dream. She got it on January the 16th. This 2019. I dreamed of a landscape that looked like something out of the Terminator 3 movie, Rise of the Machines. I was in the spirit observing myself as a 12-year-old boy trying to navigate this dark terrain. I believe there was something like a 12-year-old boy, possibly in the movie, she said. Sometimes I experienced this dream from inside the boy, and other times I observed it like a movie. The surroundings looked like an urban battlefield. Everything was reduced to rubble, and it was very dark, except for scattered fires burning all around the landscape. Okay, I think this is like many verses that we've been getting about Babylon, which is the deep state, burning the people of God, chariots, palaces, homes, etc. Chariots could be cars, right? Remember Paradise, California, which was struck by DEW weapons? Absolutely. It was a prophetic microcosm of, I believe, what is coming. And I believe all this can be lessened through prayer. So here's some texts, just a few, that were given by faith at random on the morning of January the 18th. And spoke to us about burning the apostate church. Because that's what Babylon did in their day. What happened when the Joel 2 northern army burned its way to Jerusalem, which is the bride? You remember that? Joel chapter 1, and also in the beginning of Joel chapter 2, it talked about fires. This army was leaving fires behind them. Which caterpillars and palm worms and such don't do. They don't burn. Cities would fire. And then, in Joel chapter 2, the bride came out of her closet and the groom came out of his chamber, and they all interceded to the Lord who destroyed the army as revival came. And just like Esther interceded for Israel and Haman and his army, when they were destroyed and revival came. And the people cried out at the Red Sea, and God sunk their enemies, and revival came. Okay. Revival's going to come. It's going to come through Jesus in the man-child reformers. And we're going to see it too, but we have to fight for it. If you don't fight, you're going to lose. But I'm believing that God's true people are going to fight. Okay, so here's some texts that we receive by faith at random. Debbie Fenske got this. 2 Chronicles 36:15-19. And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent to them by his messengers, rising up early, sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. And of course, God is sending his messengers to the people, and I wish that they would listen. But some of them are not going to listen, and this is going to cost them. Okay? 16. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Let me say, some people are not going to escape the wrath of the deep state. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldeans. There it is, the Babylonians, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. See that? Okay. And had no compassion upon the young man or virgin, old man or hoary head. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, you know who the vessels are of the house of God, right? Them gold and silver vessels, okay, is God's people, God's holy people. Great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. Yes, he brought the people who were under the apostate, fallen away leadership to Babylon. And we know that the real vessels of the house of God, these came back with Cyrus to the house of God and were set up in the house of God. There was a falling away, right? And they burnt the house of God. There it is. Where's the house of God? Well, it's out there in all those churches. And break down the wall of Jerusalem and burn all the palaces thereof with fire. There it is. They burned their way to Jerusalem, the Joel Northern Army, and here Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing, etc. And they destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. I don't know if you watched the videos of the directed energy weapons destroying people in their houses before they could even get out of there. But notice that the Babylonians burned the church of that day and their palaces and the vessels within. Okay? Now, what's the chance of us getting these all in one day, speaking about this same thing? And Merlene got Psalm 46, 8 through 11, excuse me. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, don't worry about this. You just pray and believe. Know he is God and know he's going to be exalted. And verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. In Paradise, California, cars and houses and people burned by the DEW weapons, I believe may be foreshadowing of a larger attack that is coming. We know it's still coming because we're still getting words from the Lord that it's coming. And Merlene also got this text, Isaiah 47, 12 through 14. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, talking to the apostate church. If so be that thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let not the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from the things that shall come upon thee. Let now the astrologers, all these that they trusted in, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to warm it, nor a fire to sit before. Isn't that interesting? When they burn stuff up, it is totally burnt. There isn't a lasting fire with these DEW weapons. They're so hot, they melt everything. Far, far beyond any forest fire or house fire. So, and Don got Nahum 2, 8 through 13. But Nineveh hath been from of old like a pool of water. Ooh, that reminds me of a vision I had of America. I was standing over the Gulf of Mexico and I was looking north at America. And a vision I saw, it turned into an above ground swimming pool, you know, with a lip around the edge of the outline of America, and the water was on the inside, and there were fish swimming everywhere. And then the Lord showed me that that was a symbol of Nineveh. That's their symbol, a fish in an enclosure. Just as Nineveh was, Babylon, deep state in America, is the head of the beast empire. And the rest of the world is beneath it. And it goes on to say, yet they flee away. Stand, stand, they cry, but none looketh back. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is no end of the store, the glory of all goodly furniture. I'm going to skip on down and read 13. You can read the rest of that if you want to. Behold, I am against thee, says the Lord of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions. And I will cut off thy prey from the earth, and the voice of thy messenger shall no more be heard. Okay, there it is again. And now here's one I thought fit really well with this. This Missy got this one. Let me say that Father has determined to bring down the apostate church for its rebellion against his word. And because they are a Babylonish entity keeping God's people in bondage to religious spirits. How can God's people follow the man-child ministry into the coming wilderness with these people? So God is going to bring disrepute and destruction to this. So pray. Pray for God's people who are ignorant and may be in the midst. And some of them might need to miss church one day. I don't know. But pray for God's people, okay? I mean, just because you're in bondage does not mean you're not God's people, right? So pray. Isaiah 65, 8 through 16. Now listen carefully. We're going to see who's going to escape and who's not. And for thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. God does not want to destroy them all. There is a people, a remnant in the midst who are going to be preserved. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, which was the Old Testament church, right? Israel. And out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. Yes, Jacob will live there, but the inheritor is going to be Judah. And my chosen shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. There you go. Servants and sons are different. Sons are going to rule. Servants are going to live there, you see. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and a valley, the valley of Achor, or troubling, a place for herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain. And of course, we know that there was a faction and a rebellion away from the house of David, who was in the holy mountain, for goodness sake. So they grabbed another leadership there, a factious leadership. That forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune. In other words, they do it for their own self-will. People are looking to gain authority over others. And sometimes that's very destructive, as it was with Israel when they factioned away from Judah. And that filled up mingled wine unto destiny. Yeah, I will destine you to the sword. You shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. And when I spake, you did not hear. But you did that which was evil in mine eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be put to shame. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall wail for vexation of spirit. So this is what, of course, he's speaking about the apostates, those who rebelled against his word, rebelled against his prophets, did their own thing, weren't paying attention to what God wanted, and so they didn't hear from God, and it was too late. 15, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. Notice they're not the chosen. Many are called, few are chosen, right? And the Lord will slay thee, and he will call his servants by another name. Yes, many people call themselves Christians, but are they? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Oh, gosh, it's the truth that's going to set you free. It's the truth that's going to manifest Christ in you, which is God's whole purpose for us being on this earth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Well, how ironic that the deep state will take down the deep state church. So there is a criminal element in the church that's taking God's people captive, just like the criminal element in the government that's taking God's people captive. Both of them are full of witchcraft and faction and greed and lies and slander, both of them. So Matt Farah received this, and I think it speaks to whether we will win against this beast or not. If we fight the good fight of the faith and spiritual warfare, we will win against this beast. This text speaks for itself in the context of these other verses that we received on the same day. 2 Samuel 5, 19 through 21. David warred with the beast. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will certainly deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. And he said, the Lord hath broken mine enemies before me like the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men took them away. Amen. So how do we do this? Listen, we've been given authority, which I will talk to you about in just a little bit. We've been given authority by God. We've been given details of angels from the Lord. And when we pray and when we do spiritual warfare, those angels go forth and do it. So I say to you, you could be just one of the ones that knows that we do have authority to do such things, and that how faith works and how we use faith, and how Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. We know how to make faith work. Very few Christians know anything about faith. To many of them, faith is what their doctrine is. It's what their church believes. And, of course, that's ridiculous. They don't know how to exercise faith or do warfare. So this small amount of God's people that know about this are responsible to do something here. It's not the people that are in the ignorance that are going to do anything. It's the small number of God's people who do spiritual warfare and do exercise authority that's going to bring down the beast kingdom. Okay, so please remember that. Please stop whatever you're doing that's superfluous and do spiritual warfare against everything that is the deep state. Because they're doing everything they can to bring down this political revival at this time. Not only here, but all over the world. So pray. So wait until God gives you the things to pray and pray them. Go to the Lord. So we're back to the revelation here. Eve's revelation. And she said, my father, who I believe represents the father, was to the right and a little behind the boy. He slash I, because she was sometimes in the boy, right, could communicate with our father through our minds. But sometimes we asked questions verbally. Okay. As he slash I walked up a small hill, suddenly the hand of a skeleton zombie tried to grab our ankle. This is the walking dead mixed with the symbol of pestilence. Notice that. The walking dead will have pestilence. She went on to say, we kicked its hand off as it continued to climb up the hill, and then we began trying to wrestle with it. We ended up tearing its skull off and throwing it to the ground. And then I watched the boy stomp on the skull and crush it with his right combat boot that he was wearing. And a skull is a symbol of what? Poison. You know the symbol of poison? The skull with the bones crossed, right? It's a symbol of poison. And then Eve sent us a bunch of pictures from that particular movie of these skeleton beings, you know. And sure enough, like she described it, the urban area is wrecked. Then he slash I asked our father, what has happened? Our father said, this is the result of pestilence. This is what pestilence does. And we've been warning for a long time now. Pestilence is coming. It's coming, and who it's coming from. Then I watched as the skeleton zombie. Notice it's a mixture of a skeleton and a zombie, who is the walking dead, right? If a person gets a pestilence, they are the walking dead. And like the zombies, they try to give it to other people. So I watched as the skeleton zombie slowly reached out to grab its crushed skull, and as it drugged the skull to itself, the skull began to regenerate. As it placed its skull back onto its body. Now, I didn't watch this movie, so I don't know, but there may be other things in here that resemble things that happened in the movie, okay? When a person contracts pestilence, they have a death sentence. And as such, they are the walking dead. And they spread this death to others, like the zombies did, right? So they are desperately avoided, as in this case. And also, pestilence has a mind like this skeleton zombie, which is called in the New Testament a spirit of infirmity. And that spirit wants to kill others and uses the disease to do so. And God is in, let me say, in control of this situation. Remember, when the destroyer came at the Passover, God had that destroyer on a leash. He said when he saw the blood, he would not permit the destroyer to enter into their homes to destroy them. And again, he very specifically was able to use the destroyer to kill individuals in a house, like the firstborn of Pharaoh and all of his people. I mean, that takes intelligent design, not only to miss the rest of them, but to get the one that he says. Who is this intelligent design, I ask you? Of course, it's God Almighty. And so also miss all of the Israelites who had the blood on the doorposts and lintel. Again, intelligent design. And very clearly in Exodus 12, the Lord is the one that's leading this destroyer to take out specifically who he wants to take out. Is he able to do it this time too? Yes, indeed. And I believe that this will spread in the United States, but will be directed by God, just like the destroyer was in Egypt, to direct it right straight at the sinners, right? The sinners among God's people are more guilty than the sinners in the world, because they know of the truth and where to find the truth, and they avoid it, and they don't listen to God's prophets or teachers. They have followed, they have gathered people together to tickle their ears, right? So, we've warned since 2017 that the deep state is planning a pestilence to bring the U.S. and Christendom down. And, of course, Christendom, I'm using it negatively. And now we are very close, very close. We have it on the front page of our site. We've been warning. We've actually sent this to the president. And very interesting, you know, sometimes they listen. The thing we had the other day about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her double. Well, we sent that to the president. We sent it to quite a few people. And we sent it to the president, I think, two or three times. And I was just sent a video that was on Before It's News that said 24 minutes in, there is a meme from the Q, a mega meme folder that says RBG is dead and Dems are searching for a body double. interesting, because that's exactly what we just told them. So they do sometimes listen. And thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. So back to Eve's revelation here. It got back up and came to fight the boy again. This scene repeated many times as the boy was growing weary and frustrated of fighting the zombie. So pray and do warfare for those righteous people in the way of the judgments to come. People will get tired of being tested and looking at the problem and not believing and not accepting the problem. You remember how Peter stepped out of the boat. And when he got his eyes on the waves, he began to sink and cried out to the Lord. And the Lord pulled him up and asked him why he doubted. Well, obviously, because he doubted the ability of the Lord to keep him from going under the water, which represents death. And it did to Peter, too. He did not trust the Lord to keep him from going under, and he started to sink. You can't walk by sight as a Christian. You will lose any benefit you've got from God. You have to walk by faith. And when this thing comes, you're going to be tempted with demon spirits saying, you're going to catch that because so-and-so right beside you just died with it, or so-and-so contracted it, or they just coughed on you, or blah, 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 whatever, you know. So if you want to live through this thing, you should have been studying faith. study our revelation on the real good news, the series on the real good news in the one-hour programs. It'll tell you that you've already been delivered from this. You just need to accept it, fight the good fight of the faith, and you will win. So the judgments to come are always going to take out the wicked because they don't have any faith. And but they don't have to weary the righteous. So this boy represents some people who are getting weary of fighting with these creatures. So you need to pray. Pray for them, okay? He asked our Father, why can't I kill it? And our Father said, this is pestilence. This is what pestilence does. The boy finally decided to flee from the zombie. But then many others started to come after us as we did our best to avoid them, which is what you do with people who have pestilence, right? They wanted to bite us in order to infect us and turn us into one of them, like zombies, you know. The walking dead, I believe, will be many before this thing is stopped. And I can tell you where it's going to be stopped, right before the gates of the bride. Just like in all the scriptures. The Sennacherib scenario, they took all of God's people but the bride. Northern army, you know, Jehoshaphat, right? So, this is the walking dead. But we were quicker and more agile than they were, and we could easily evade them. Our Father seemed to be effortlessly keeping up, and he was always with us. Yes, he is. Very interesting. Well, this being able to evade the pestilence and the walking dead, I'll speak to you some more about the walking dead and how they try to bite people and give them their disease. That's well known to us. So this escaping or evading the pestilence, it's only going to be possible if the Father is with us, like he's shown to be here, because of our faith in our Passover lamb and our submission to God's word. And the word of God teaches this. Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall no plague. There shall no plague be upon you to destroy you. Now we have a better covenant based on better promises than they did. So do we get this? Of course. There shall no plague be upon you to destroy you, because they're walking under the blood. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light. Repent of willful disobedience. You will not live through this if you do, if you have willful disobedience, except by the very grace of God. And when I smite the land of Egypt, all right, so our land of Egypt is here, you know, and you have to live under the blood. And also to Exodus 15 and 26, God promises not to put it upon you like he did the Egyptians. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Well, what did we just learn? These people were apostate because they weren't listening to the voice of the Lord. And wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, thank you, Father. So that's the promise of God. I am the Lord that healeth. So I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. That's what the Lord says. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And Psalm 91, 1 through 16, has much to say about plagues and pestilence. And, of course, the faithful, they can believe this. If a person's condemned by their own conscience, they can't hold on to faith. If they know what faith is, they can't hold on to it. Psalm 91, 1 through 16. He that dwelleth in the secret place, that is, abiding in Christ, the Word of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And as I always say, who's going to mess with you under there, right? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, that is, those who lay traps for you, which is what deep state does, and from the deadly pestilence. So he will deliver you from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Yes, God's truth will set you free. The truth that God will not put the diseases upon you that he put upon the Egyptians is one that will put faith in your heart, right? The truth of the Passover lamb, the truth of Psalm 91, the truth will make you free from these things. And if you're not studying the truth, you're just studying religion, well, you just might pass away, because this is a judgment against the apostates. And that's what apostates are. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, because you can't see it, can you? Nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Ooh, man. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes, that is the faithful, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Name is represents or is nature, character, and authority. The Hebrew word and the Greek word mean the same thing, nature, character, and authority. If you know the Lord, you know what he said. You know that he's true to what he said. All these are things that will be very beneficial to you in the times when these things happen. And if you thought it would never happen in America, you're wrong. A.A. Allen saw it happen too. He saw it sprayed from the air, something that was killing multitudes of people. You say, what is that? Well, I think it's the chemtrails, but they can change them at any time to take you out. And they've taken a lot of people out slowly and surely with all their testing because they really don't like people. Their father doesn't either. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. That is who? Those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Abide in Jesus Christ, the Word of God. There is safety there. Eat the Lamb, which is the Word of God. Eat the Lamb. Eat all of the Lamb. That's what saved them from the destroyer. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Salvation is a word, soteria, in the New Testament, which means all of my needs supplied, like a little baby. If you have a need, like deliverance from pestilence, it's been supplied. It's all involved in the same word. So, then Eve said, we came to a gray house. Gray house. She said she thinks this is probably the house of apostates. And it's gray, which is the symbol for death, color symbol for death, right? And it seemed familiar to me, and as I entered the front door, I was myself again. And I walked into the master bedroom, and there was a bright fluorescent lighting over to the left of the room, but otherwise the room was dark. Okay. Of course, the master bedroom symbolizes where the master sows his seed, spiritually speaking, and in this case, in the bride. Okay? I'm telling you what the Lord has spoken in the parable of the sower, where the sower went forth to sow the seed, and the seed was the word of God, and he sowed it into the hearts of people until one out of four people that heard it brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now you're going to find out the bride is listening. They're hearing the word. They're going to be preserved. I saw a large king-sized waterbed that actually looked like an above-ground pool. Wow, there's that above-ground pool again. With clear walls. Yes, mine were too. Like a large fish tank. I noticed that the actual bed was under the water at the bottom. It had white sheets and pillows. And I saw a beautiful black woman with straightened hair laying on her right side. That's always symbolical. And also on the right side of the bed beneath the water. So she was beneath the water. This black woman, beautiful black woman, beneath the water, okay, laying on the right side. She had on a white linen nightshirt and matching pants. I knew she was dead and that she chose to drown under the water. Well, let me try to give some idea about this. The body had righteous works. It was dressed in white because it was dead to self. and only moved by the Spirit. You know, your body itself is not evil. It's the nature of the flesh on the inside that's evil. When your body is subservient to your spirit man, it is doing righteousness. It's righteous works. It has on the white clothing, okay? She looked so peaceful and had a little smile on her face. So I believe that the black woman is Eve, and she got that revelation, which I'll reveal to you in just a minute, as a type of the bride or the bride's old man. So the black woman is a part of Eve. I would say the physical part, right? Who is dead beneath the waters of the Word, which is what baptism is a symbol of, right? It puts to death the life of the old man. It renews the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Lord says. And the Word of God reprograms these viruses that you've got in your hard drive. So you put that in there and it takes out the virus. It's the good Word that puts to death the old man and brings to life the new man, which is what happened at the Red Sea. Notice it's underwater. We're coming to a Red Sea. Where is it? Now we're noticing that it is connected with this plague that's being sent forth. Because Pharaoh's army sought to destroy the people of God, and instead they were destroyed. Okay, so there's a very clear connection here. She looked peaceful. She had a little smile on her face. And she was dead beneath the waters of the Word. Because when we read the Word, it fulfills our baptism. It crucifies the old man. It brings to life the new man. The Red Sea does that too. Okay. I climbed up on top of the bed and laid down directly above the black woman and laid in the same position on my right side. Well, there it is again, the right side. The sheep are on the right, right? The goats are on the left, right? Okay. That's when I realized that the black woman was me. So here's Eve above the mattress, and here's the woman down below, under the water, dead. Eve's resting on the mattress, and while resting, which is you enter into the rest through faith in the Word of God. You cease from your own works through faith in the Word of God. So she realized that the black woman below is dead, and she is alive, and she is on top of the water. And the spiritual man is above the waters of death. The Word of God will not kill the spiritual man. It will save him. Like Noah, you know. You know, it killed the old man underneath the ark, but Noah rode above the flood. He was spared. Eight were spared, right? And wherever there is a dead man, there is a resurrected one, just like at the Red Sea. Remember, the old man, the one who held the new man in bondage, died there, and the new man came up on the other side and had a party. Yeah. And by the way, we're headed towards a party, a big party. I mean, even with all this destruction going on, it's ultimately going to do the will of God. It's going to destroy the wicked. That's what he says. So, are you catching on to some of this? It's interesting that we've been waiting for the fulfillment of the Red Sea. Now, I think we're looking at it. The fulfillment of the Red Sea is seen in this parable right here. Wherever there's a dead man, there's a resurrected one. Now, I'm not talking against baptism. Baptism is great, and you do it by faith. That's why you do it. You're obedient to the Lord. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You're doing it by faith in the Lord, that when you go down under the waters, you die, and the one that comes up is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You do this by faith, and you accept this, and you point back towards this, and you can tell the devil all the time, I died there. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. I behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and am transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Okay? And then I became aware that there was a large black man lying on top of the water on his left side. Well, the goats lie on the left. Right? They lie on the left. With his back to me and on the left side of the bed. He only had a dark pair of underwear on. He wasn't asleep. And when I got on top of the water, he became annoyed and resentful. Yes. Who does he represent? I'll share that in just a minute. But think about it. The more righteous we become, the more the worldly hate us. The spirits are contrary, right? One is born of Satan and one is born of God. Those who walk after the mind of the flesh hate those who walk after the mind of the spirit. Like Esau hated Jacob, and Cain hated Abel. It's just a fact of nature. When you get saved, you wonder why people that used to like you don't like you anymore. Well, that's the reason. Contrary spirit. John 15 and 18 says, if the world hateth you, you know that it hath hated me before it hated you. And 15 and 24. And if I had not done among them the works which none other did, you do good works around these people, and it convicts them, and they don't like it. They had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. And 15 and 25. But this cometh to pass that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Yes. Very interesting. Okay, so this black man, representing a man who walks in darkness, is on the left side. And he has, since Eve has now come on top of the water, he has a hatred, a disgust for her. The bride is going to be the most disgusting next to Jesus. You know, when you think they just hate you, no, like Jesus said, no, you don't just hate me, you hate my Father. And, you know, when they hate you, guess who they hate? They hate Jesus. And they hate the Father, because it's all born of the same one, the Father, the Spirit of the Father. And I understood that he didn't appreciate me being there. So he sat up quickly, hung his legs over the edge of the bed, with his elbows resting on his thighs and his hands grasped together. He hung his head in torment, and I knew that he was grieving my death and was angry that I drowned myself. Yes, if two people side by side, one refuses death to self, the other one accepts it, they're going to become totally contrary one to another. One will go on in God, and the other will not. He was angry that I drowned myself. You know, there are husbands and wives. One of them gets saved, and the other one doesn't. The one gets enters into the crucified life, death to self. The other gets more and more angry because they liked the old person, but they don't like this new person. They wish they'd go back to being the old person, right? He had not wanted to die with me, so now he was very alone. Then I realized that the black man was representative of factious men. And I knew he wanted to get out of there and get away from me as soon as possible. Yes, this is really what happens to the faction when these demons come upon them. They want to get away from us. They can't stand us. Yeah. In fact, I want to tell you something. We've already seen them as the walking dead. So this is not a strange parable to us. Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. Oh. Does that mean that some people along in there get deceived and can't come back? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It does mean that this is the method that God uses to separate the wheat from the tares. And then he bundles the tares together to burn them. He lets them both grow together until harvest, and then he bundles the tares together to burn them. But the wheat he gathers into his barn. They're his possession. Okay, so this is what's happening out there, saints. It's happening. God is making a separation. His angels are doing the work, just like Jesus said in the parables. Eve said, I said to him, you don't want to go out there. There's a horrible pestilence out there. An infected zombie skeleton looking creatures everywhere. He was insistent about leaving the house. Well, you know, when the destroyer passes over, what did he tell him? Don't leave the house. Okay. Because he didn't want to be there if I was there. Yeah, they don't really. They have just a natural hatred for being around Christians. And yet, they all call themselves Christians. But they're not. You'll know them by their works and by their love one for another, Jesus said. We have experienced this scenario much, even as we also wanted them to be saved. John 6:65 says, and he said, for this cause have I said unto you, that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of the Father. Now, Jesus was speaking to a group of his disciples. Then we come to verse 666, John 6:66. Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were offended. So, in 67, Jesus turned and he said, therefore, to his 12, would ye also go away? This is a good question. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Yeah, but you know what? Those words of eternal life that put to death the old man, they don't impress these people. They don't impress these people. So he got up and left. I felt bad for him because I knew that drowning in that bed was far better than what he would face outside with the pestilence and the zombie skeletons that never die. I mean, the disease just goes on and on and on and on and on. You know, it's not like you can get away from it. And let me say, we have known these people as the walking dead already. And the added feature of being bitten by the pestilence and the flesh eaten alive by its coming, right? Pray for those who can be saved from among them. Pray. Pray. Believe God. Some will be delivered, right? Then Eve said, I laid my head down to rest, and then I woke up. Very interesting revelation there. And this is something we've been saying, like I said, since 2007, was coming. And now I feel it is here. Remember, we just shared a revelation about the coming northern army and how that the bride, Jerusalem, cried out to God and was spared. And then the revival came. She said, I'm reminded of the verse that Father gave me by faith at random at the beginning of this new year when I was asking for a word for a factious man. And my finger was on death or pestilence, depending upon what version you use. And it's in Jeremiah 15 and 2, and in context 1 through 6. Jeremiah 15, 1 through 6. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be towards this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. So once again, we're seeing that that's what the parable was about, right? Pretty interesting. And it shall come to pass when they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? And what did he say to the man on the right who was walking in darkness and who denied dying with the righteous? Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you will not gain your life. If you don't lose your life to the word and humbly submit to it, you will not gain your life. Whither shall we go? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as for death to death. So here's where the man walking out of the building was headed to. Such as for death to death. For death to death. And death, of course, as translated both ways, pestilence and death. And such as are for the sword, to the sword. And such as are for famine, to the famine. And such as are for captivity, to captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, says the Lord. This is the man who is on the left, who leaves the building refusing the crucified life. I will appoint over them four kinds, says the Lord. The sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. And I will cause them to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. Because of Manasseh. Manasseh was an apostate Christian leader, if you wanted to see that in that day, because the Old Testament church was Israel. Because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who will have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Who will bemoan thee? Or who will turn aside to ask of thy welfare? Thou hast rejected me, says the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore have I stretched out my hand against thee and destroyed thee. I am weary with repenting. Well, God's wrath will be poured out on the apostate leadership of God's people. We pray for the repentance of many before it's too late. Babylon destroyed God's people by sword, famine, pestilence, and fire. And our Babylon our deep state Babylon, is fighting hard to destroy Christianity, but they will only destroy that which is not Christianity, but claims Christianity. And any of the righteous that do die, their time is up. It's time for them to go into their paradise, which is heaven. Praise be to God for that. Now, here's a warning, a stern warning to you. God has a method of bringing things to pass that he prophesies. His method is repentance and faith. His method is faith and spiritual warfare, fighting the good fight of faith. So this is a story about the Trump political revival will fail without your prayers. This is a word given to Jeremiah Johnson, January the 18th, this 2019. Listen carefully. As a nightly dreamer since the days of my youth, I honestly cannot remember the last time I had a nightmare. That all changed last night, as I woke up in my bed, unable to breathe, my heart racing out of control, my entire body numb and shaking. It was a terrifying experience, to say the least. In a dream, I was on a ship with Donald Trump in a swamp that was totally infested with alligators. Sound familiar? Many of them were larger than life. However, these were not merely just alligators. They revealed themselves to me as mercenary alligators. Mercenary. These are those that are paid to go and kill. Well, these are paid in many different ways. Many of them believe that they are gaining power from God by sacrificing human lives. And their God is Satan. And, of course, there's much money flowing down from people like Soros and the elite and so on and so forth to bribe people. So they're mercenary alligators. In other words, they were trained to sink our ship and had no other agenda but doing so. Risking their life was not a problem for them. They had been commissioned to sink the ship and kill us. As our ship sailed deeper into the swamp, Donald Trump was laughing with his Make America Great Again hat on as he steered. He continued to laugh as he would purposely plow into as many alligators as he could. He would yell to me on the ship, "I'm going to drain the swamp." Suddenly I began to realize that the more Donald tried to drain the swamp, the more the swamp was going to drain him. Larger and larger alligators began to swim up and take large chunks out of our ship. We began to take on water, and I knew then that our death was imminent. Donald seemed to be totally oblivious to the great danger that we were in. Yep, he's a warrior. He don't have time to think about fear and doubt and all these things. He was just going about his job, you know. Let me say, God didn't choose Donald because he is a great Christian. He chose him for the gift that he has in him to do warfare against the deep state. That's why he chose him. Don't try to put him in some mold that God is not doing at this time. Just accept the gift that God has given to you, right? And listen, you can go, you can criticize, you can say he's this, he's that, he's all, and, but he's doing what God gave him to do. and we can see the benefits of it. We're not stupid. We can look. We don't have the stupid demons. We can look out there and see the benefits of this. There are people out there that are claimed to be on the Christian right, and they're criticizing him because he's not this, he's not that. Listen, that's crazy. That's crazy. Just accept the gift that he is. God has all vessels of honor, dishonor, and whatever. And I'm not saying he's a vessel totally of dishonor. I don't believe that. I believe he has some conservative views, and I believe he has some people at heart, and I believe he is working for them, working towards their deliverance, just like Cyrus was. I pleaded with him to stop intentionally and purposely draining the swamp, but it was too late. We were swallowed up into this totally demonic, mercenary alligator abyss. It was a gigantic black hole. I could literally hear hordes of demons laughing and cheering. Well, of course, the devil wants to take down Donald Trump and those that are with him. And this man being a Christian, of course, he wanted to take him down too. What I felt and experienced as Donald and I died together is something I will never forget. I immediately woke up in my bed, suffocating, numb, and my heart racing out of my chest. As I began to pray to get free, this is what the Lord spoke to me and said, "Jeremiah, my people do not recognize the demonic warfare from hell that is being unleashed upon the United States and Donald Trump." That's true. They're going about their business, just letting everything take its course, you know. But that's not why we're here. We're to be salt. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. If you can't affect the world around you and be the salt, which was a preservative to them, right? A preservative. If you can't preserve life around you, you're good for nothing but to be taken down by it. So the Lord went on speaking to Jeremiah. He said, "Even as a wall is being built, why are my people refusing to build a wall of intercession and prayer around their president and around their nation? Why?" Good question. Thank you, Lord. Think about this, please. Is everything else in the world more important than this? God has a means to an end. He always uses prayer and faith to bring about what he wants to bring about. But if people don't pray, they don't get it. It's just like if you start out believing for a healing with faith, but you don't endure in that faith to receive the end result, you don't get it. Yes, the borders are unsecured, but they are far more unsecured in the spirit realm than you could ever imagine. Okay, so the Lord is saying, wake up, go to work, do spiritual warfare, spend time at this. Stop your hobbies. You won't have time for them once the deep state takes back over. Okay, so you have to make sure that doesn't happen. You have authority. You have to exercise it. And the Lord went on to say, "How is it that a man would see the necessity of building a wall to protect a country, but my people cannot even recognize their desperate need to build a wall of intercession and prayer around their own lives and churches? How the American church continues to sleep and slumber in these days of history has come before my throne, and it has greatly grieved my heart. Yes, peace and prosperity destroys many." The Lord went on to say, "I warn you, Jeremiah, that as Donald tries to drain the swamp is going to drain him. His heart will become hardened, his resolve will become dangerous, and the attacks upon his life and presidency will only get bigger and bigger. Yes, because they are desperate. They know they're headed to Gitmo, and they're going to fight. As I've been saying for a long time, this is not going to be an easy thing, like you hear, you know, on the internet a lot, how easy it's going to be. No, this is going to take warfare. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, the Bible says. We have to fight through the principalities and powers to get to the kingdom of God, to take the kingdom of God. The Lord goes on. He says, this will be a result in large part due to a prayerless church in America that has refused to pray for their president and that has ignored the demonic agendas in Washington. If my people do not begin to gather and call upon my name, great danger will come upon the shores of the United States of America, says God. Well, let us do all of the above and stop Satan's agenda and finish this political revival for the short time that we have it. This will affect us all the way up until the middle of the tribulation period. This will. I mean, for the first 3.5 years, we are to have a relatively peaceful time with the beast while we're learning to put the church together. Read Revelation chapter 12, the first 3.5 years. Then read Revelation 13, the second 3.5 years, when the beast makes war on the saints. So we have a short time left here to have peace so that we can put the building back together that was destroyed when the apostates were taken into captivity to Babylon. The building being God's kingdom. Deb Horton said, after reading this, I received by random, my finger was on caused in Ezekiel 22:5. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. Where has Christianity been captive here in the United States? That's right. He's talking about this corporate city that we're in the United States. He said, seek the peace of it. Seek the peace of it. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Would you like to have peace between here and the middle of the tribulation? Well, we better start praying. Vanessa Weeks said, I had this short dream on 11/12/18. And we bound this from happening in the Wednesday class back then. We have a Wednesday book class. And after reading the warring dream above, Mary and I thought I should send this to you. And I received it. I saw a newspaper with the headline, Trump died on February the 4th. Wow. When I read this, it was as if Trump was Barry, meaning, of course, Trump is ahead, Barry is ahead, right? Barry's ahead of his family, Trump's ahead of his family, larger family. But it did not affect me emotionally. And at the bottom right-hand corner of the paper were stock exchange listings. I did not know what the news was about or what the news was about the market. But it was as if it was second place news after President Trump's death. Well, yeah, I do believe that the stock market would plummet if they killed President Trump. It's like killing the goose that laid the golden egg, right? But this warning is for us to make sure through prayer and spiritual warfare that this doesn't happen. People don't realize that sometimes dreams come to give you a warning so you will pray and change things. You've heard prayer changes things? And actually, prayer does fulfill the will of God. So you need to pray. Listen, we don't have time for hobbies right now, for pampering the flesh. We over here, we're all fasting and praying. Coming against everything we can think about coming against. Prayer and warfare is needed now. Days ago, we received two words that began a fast and prayer time for us locally. And I hope you'll join us. The future of America and the world and many lives are in the balance. And Satan's forces have gone all out to stop the popular political revival going forth. And both of these words that we received were at a time when there was an overwhelming army coming against God's people and the nation in the context. And the first word was Joel 2, 12 through 17. And we've received this many times. And in fact, we've been exhorted to fast and pray with this before and done it several times. Okay? So listen, Joel 2. 12 through 17, the northern army is coming to destroy them. What do they do? Yet even now, says the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart. In other words, repent and turn to the Lord. Change your ways. Anything that needs to line up with the word. Live unto the blood, right? And with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So he's saying, first of all, he said this army was his army. It was his army to come and chasten and destroy. And yet when they cried out to him, the Lord, since it was his army, he stopped it. Who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Okay, so this is the Lord speaking to us here. Now he said this twice. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Well, remember the peoples, when they came in contact with the Israelites who had come through the Red Sea, the peoples reported to them that they knew about what their God had done. They saw what their God had done. You know what? They respected him. This is what we need. There's been lots of powerless churches out there that don't have any respect from the world. But guess what happens when power is manifested? And they would say, where's their God? You know, if we go under here and the whole world is watching us go under, that's what they would say. Where's their God? We're bringing a smirch upon God's honor. And the second word was one that I received right after this. 2 Chronicles 20, 9 through 12. If evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and save. Now, we've already heard from the Lord what's going to happen if we don't pray. So I received this by faith at random, just as the verse I just shared with you too. By faith at random, the Lord is saying very clearly, he wants us to fast and pray. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned aside from them and destroyed them not. Behold, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession. This is a monstrous army here, just like the northern army was, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Wilt thou not judge them? Lord, will you not judge this deep state army that's coming against us? Will you not cast them down? Will you not preserve this which you started, Lord God? This revival of a government that looks on Christians with favor, whereas we just left a government that was trying to destroy us. We want to go back to that. I mean, Pharaoh Obama's there ready. Hillary's ready. Nancy Pelosi's ready. They want to kick President Trump out of office and his vice president out of office, and that would leave Nancy Pelosi as president. Oh, my God. Yes. So, Father, save us. Save us, Father, in Jesus' name. Please lay aside all your projects and your desires and pray and do warfare. Don't count on others. Do it yourself. God wants numbers. He wants people to pray. Fast and pray. Please do it now. Here's another word we got from Linda Lomax on the 19th of this month. I had posted on the JPH Facebook page maybe 20 minutes earlier today about a strong urgency in my spirit that came unbidden yesterday around mid-afternoon, where I suddenly felt something is wrong. Something is wrong. I checked everything in my immediate domain and couldn't find anything wrong, so I felt it must be something on a larger scale. I did not post about it because I was hoping to get some detail from the Lord. I prayed and asked for detail several times, and again this morning. And as I continued to pray and ask for more details, I began to get this word. Apparently something much larger than just our government is going to be shut down. I heard in my spirit, shut down, shut down, shut down. I am shutting this nation down. Well, I can tell you what would shut it down. If this political revival doesn't continue, it'll be in gridlock with these alligators. And probably end up in martial law. That shuts you down too. That really does a lot of destruction to an economy, right? So I don't know. And also the pestilence would, of course, bring martial law and a shutdown. People don't, you know, go to large crowds. They don't go to places of worship. They don't do a lot of things that gets them around other people. They tend to go in their house and close the door. And sometimes that won't save them either. Shut down. I thought that was a strange thing to hear, since our government is at the moment in its 29th day of the longest government shutdown in our history. About 800,000 federal employees have been without pay for a month and are in dire straits, and there is no end in sight. Well, let me say just a little bit about that. This was all planned, I'm quite sure, because they're saying the overwhelming majority of these people don't work for a living. And they were hired by the Obama administration. And so they're in there to hinder. And this is part of draining the swamp. I'm not saying that they, obviously when they go past the 30th day, which is today, I think, he has a legal right to downsize the force. And whether they're going to hire back the good people, I don't know. I have no idea. But I think it was done on purpose. And at any rate, she went on to say, the Lord did not give me any idea of how he would shut the nation down or when. But this message came up in my spirit so urgently that I am not waiting for Monday to post it. Pray. Declare the protection of the three Hebrew men who came out of the fire. Declare the protection my servant Daniel had. Declare the protection Moses and the Israelites had. For I will make a way for you where there is no way. I am the Lord. Rest in me and pray, my children, pray, for the time upon you is like no other. Note, I feel very strongly in my spirit that this is what he is saying to pray. Pray in the spirit if you have the gift of tongues. Pray in your own language if you do not. God hears no matter what language you pray in. Pray for our president, for the government. I have been praying for a spirit of cooperation to cover them. Pray for the lost. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your own protection. Pray for the bringing down. This is me now. Pray for the bringing down of the deep state in every form and every fashion through the mainstream media and everything else. Pray that it all come down. And when you hear about something, pray about it. So do we have authority from God to cast down Satan and his deep state army? Well, the words that we received earlier in this broadcast that were given us on the 18th, there was more given that covered this too. Judy got Hebrews 2, 1 through 10. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest happily we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. By the way, angels do give gifts. They administer gifts. They administer dreams. They administer visions. They administer prophecies. So, don't not pay attention to the angels. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Yes, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Did you get that? I hope so. Which having at the first been spoken through the Lord was confirmed unto us by them that heard. And we are hearing from people who heard, right? God also bearing witness with them by both by signs and wonders and by manifold powers and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. He's been giving us these gifts so that we know how to do warfare, so that we know what to cast down, so that we have authority and understanding about what is coming, and so on. For not unto angels did he subject the world to come, whereof we speak. He's not talking about the world after this one. It's the age to come, and that's where we are now. But one has somewhere testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. And listen, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject unto him. In other words, God's going to use our prayers, our spiritual warfare, our faith to do what he does. He's delegated his authority. He delegated it to Jesus. Jesus turned and delegated it to his disciples. He told them to go make disciples and to delegate it to them. What happened? Man and religion happened. Then he goes on to talk about our example here. He was the last Adam. So the first Adam failed. The devil took control. And all of Adam's children fell under the devil's power. Now, God sent the last Adam to once again give authority back to his children. He didn't fail, and he did pass it on to us. We can fail by not taking the authority. It says, but now we see not yet all things subjected unto him. Whose fault is that? It's ours. It's there for us. He just read it to us. He just gave it to us in verse 7 and verse 8. He gave us total authority to exercise for him. That's why he turned to his disciples after he was delegated all authority in heaven and on earth. He turned to them and gave it to them. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. As the Father sent me, so send I you. On and on. So we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death. Well, there it is. The suffering of death. Who's going to have that authority? That bride? That bride who is above the waters while her old man is beneath the waters. Because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That by the grace of God, he should taste of death for every man. He made it possible for us to take up our cross and follow him. Isn't that awesome? For it became him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons. That's what Jesus was, right? A son. Bringing many sons of God, unto glory. What is the glory? The glory is the life you see shining out of Christ, right? To make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So Jesus went as a forerunner and as a teacher for us to follow in the steps of. And Tim received this, Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice comes out of people who have faith. Who have authority, and they have faith that they have authority. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. You don't want to fight the flesh and blood, right? But the principalities and powers. The Lord is at hand. Yes, he is. He is at hand. And nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And he said, with thanksgiving. So you pray and you thank God, even before you see the answer. That's how faith works. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. So it's done. When you pray it, it's done. You believe it, it's done. 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah. See, because they enter into the rest. They believed the word that they prayed, that they spoke, and they entered into the rest like the bride on that mattress above the waters, which destroyed the old man. Do I believe that Cyrus or Trump will fulfill his commission in the Bible? Yes, I do. Through prayer and spiritual warfare. After the fall of Babylon or the deep state, Cyrus, who is Trump, freed the people of God from bondage to them, that is the deep state, and supported them with his own income, the rebuilding of the true spiritual temple of his people. I don't think this has nothing to do with the temple over there that they're going to build. Ezekiel's temple is not that building. Only those circumcised in heart could enter Ezekiel's temple. As you know, they're circumcised in flesh, but they're not circumcised in heart. So don't believe that garbage. If they build a building, it's just a building. God does not dwell in temples made with men's hands. He said so. That was all a type and a parable. Now we need to look at what the parable represents, okay? God's people are the Ezekiel's temple. That's what we're going to build. And Trump is going to give us the help to do it. And you will see that. If you fight this battle first, if he loses and he sinks, we got nothing. It'll be another day. So, with that in mind, Denny received this. Remember, God's rebuilding of his spiritual house is about to be supported by the Medo-Persian Empire of Cyrus, which is a sign of Trump. Ezra 6:6-12. Now therefore, Tattenai, the governor beyond the river, and Shethar Bozenai, and your companions of the Apharsites, who are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. What's he saying? Don't you bother these people. Let them build this house. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and of the elders of the Jews build this house of God in its place. Moreover, I make a decree. What you shall do to these elders of the Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, expenses be given with all diligence unto these men that they be not hindered. Make sure they have everything they need, is what he's saying, to build his house. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs and burnt offerings to God of heaven, also wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the word of the priests that are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savor unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. So here's a king that believes that their God is God. And he wants his favor. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let a beam be pulled out of his house, and let him be lifted up and fastened thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. Well, you don't want to cross that king, do you? He just pronounced a curse on those that hindered the building of this new spiritual temple of God. The kingdom of God, the people of God, who are coming back into their position and their place, standing on the promises of God, the promised land. And they've come out of captivity to Babylonish religion and Babylonish government. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, overthrow all kings and peoples that shall put forth their hand to alter the same, to destroy this house of God, which is at Jerusalem. Ooh, this is a curse upon Satan's deep state for attempts to stop this building. No, not some building over in the Middle East. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done. Ooh, with all diligence. Darius the Mede ruled over Babylon. But the Medo-Persian Empire, which was bigger than Babylon by far, was covered by Cyrus. And this political revival is spreading throughout Europe, Scandinavia, etc. Have you noticed the yellow jackets? They're exploding. They're going everywhere. We need to pray for wisdom for them, and also that the wicked don't throw people in there dressed up like them to do real wicked things so that they bring it to disrepute. That's the normal thing that the deep state does. So pray for that too. Wow. Did you get that? Isn't that awesome? How awesome. Well, you know, I think we're going to win. I'm believing we're going to win. I'm believing that everybody out there listening is going to get to praying. You know, you can read Isaiah 13 and 14. And Isaiah 13 talks about the fall of Babylon to Cyrus. And we want this fulfilled, don't we? The Lord talks about in 13, it's called at verse 1, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, did see. And he talks about all the things that happened to Babylon to bring it down, like a pain of a woman in travail. And behold, verse 9 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel and with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, shall be darkened in its going forth. I don't know about you, but do you get to see the sun very much these days? They're making sure you don't get to see the sun very much, especially if you're in a populated area. And the moon shall not cause its light to shine, and I will punish the wicked for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And he's still talking about Babylon now. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make a man more rare than fine gold, a man than the pure gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall come to pass that as the chaste roe and as the sheep that no man gathered, they shall turn everyone to his own people and shall flee every man to his own land. Verse 17 says, behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who shall not regard silver. As for gold, they shall not delight in it. Well, did you notice Cyrus really don't have a whole lot of interest in making money? He gave up his income to other people. He spent $1 billion of his own dollars. He really has an interest in this. He's putting his own money out there to do this, right? He doesn't have an interest in the gold. He's not in it for that. He's already had all that, you know. And their bows shall dash the young men in pieces. They're going to take down Babylon. And they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's pretty thorough. It shall never be inhabited. That Babylonish entity that has taken over the United States, he's bringing it down. 14 and 1. The Lord will have compassion on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. So they've been in bondage to Babylon, and there's going to be a slaughter, especially of the leadership of the apostate church, and they're going to go back to their roots. I'm talking about all of our roots, right? And set them in their own land, and the sojourner shall join himself with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Jehovah for servants and for handmaids, and they shall take them captive whose captives they were. That means the deep state is going to be made captive. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And all of this, of course, if we do our job and do the spiritual warfare and don't get distracted by worthless things of the world, none of which will we have if these people win. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy trouble and from the hard service wherein thou hast been made to serve. Yeah, many of these people from Jacob or Israel are serving apostate leadership, which is not that of Christianity, and they're serving under them, and they're in bondage to Babylon just like the rest of the people out there are. It's a shame. Got to come out of the world, right? That thou shalt take up this parable against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord has spoken, has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, that smote the peoples in wrath with a continual stroke. And that's exactly what this nation has done under the deep state. They have murdered, multiplied many hundreds of thousands of people with their incessant wars and with their joy to sacrifice to their god Satan, that ruled the nations in anger with a persecution that none restrained. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet, and they break forth into singing. Hoo-hoo! Yea, the fir tree rejoice at the... Well, it goes on. Let me see. Let me go on down just a little bit. It says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground. Hey, does that sound like in Revelation 12, right? How the angels went forth to war with the dragon and his angels, the dragon being Satan and his angels. And who was doing it? The saints of God. The saints of God. Read it. Who was exercising their authority there so that the angels would go forth and do? It was the saints of God. They loved not their life unto death. They didn't mind doing what the bride did, right? Loved not their life unto death. And they gave the good confession, right? And they conquered the enemy and cast him down. And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Is that not what Obama and Hillary and that other bunch wanted to do with the Christians? And guess who was behind them? He's telling you right here, Satan. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. There you go. So, I believe the scripture is going to be fulfilled. I believe it's like God told Esther through Mordecai. If you do this thing, if you go out and you intercede for the people of God, fine. If you don't do it, somebody else will. That's what he said. But you and your father's house are going to be destroyed. That's not good. The bride is the one that's going to intercede for the people of God. It's going to do the spiritual warfare against Haman and his multiplied people out there that are warring against the people of God. If you don't do it, God will get somebody to do it, but you're going to lose your place, especially in the bride, because the bride interceded. Esther interceded. and the Shulamite, the perfected one in Song of Solomon, interceded for her little sister. Right? So, oh, praise you, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for showing us, delivering us from evil. Thank you, Father, that everyone out there is going to be diligently praying and interceding, casting down Satan, casting down the deep state, casting down the evil media, casting down all of those entities out there that are seeking to destroy the people of God and stop the building of this temple, which was destroyed when Babylon took authority over the people of God. But now, as those who are the first fruits are coming out of Babylon, they're coming out of Babylon to rebuild the kingdom of God, to rebuild the temple of God, as it was back in the days of the book of Acts, but greater, greater. The latter rain is going to be greater than the former. Thank you, Father, for this miracle. In Jesus' name. All right, saints, thank you for joining us today. God love you and keep you. Please pray. Good night.